In Acts chapter 11, we read these words. Barnabas was a good man. That phrase, good man, it's not really a phrase that thrills our hearts. We are interested in clever men, men of genius, courageous men, even bad men at times fascinate us. But good men. If people say we're cultured, smart, educated, or wise, we're delighted. But who is complimented today by being called good? And yet Barnabas was called a good man. And the reason the disciples, in God's name, employed it here to describe this man was not because they had to say something about him and could not find anything decent to say. It was not a word to cover up the deformity of uselessness. They used the word because there was none other uniquely described that would describe this fine man of whom they were speaking. Barnabas, the Christian. Now, why did they call him good? In other words, what are the characteristics that go to make up a good man? Well, I want to share with you this morning four reasons why they called him a good man. Taken from the readings that we read from Acts 11, Acts 4, Acts 9, and Acts 15. First of all, he was a spiritual man. We discover that in Acts 11, verse 24. He was an early convert. He was a faithful, devoted member of the Jerusalem church. It seems he might have been a secret follower of Jesus, or indeed he was converted under the preaching of Peter. Well, regardless of how he came to know the Lord Jesus, the writer Luke says that he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That implies that Barnabas was a man fully given over, surrendered to God. Christ the crucified was his personal Savior and Lord. Now, we know there's no deep spirituality. We know that there's no lasting joy. We know there's no eternal peace, no assuring hope, apart from knowing the Lord Jesus. And here was a man who was deeply and genuinely spiritual. And because of that and many other fine qualities, it was said of him, he was a good man. In other words, a godly man. It showed in his life, and through his witness, his loving personality, we read that a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas was a spiritual man. I wonder, can that be said of you and me this morning? I wonder what we are really like on a Monday. In the home, in the place of work, godly or grumpy. Now, I have to say Monday's the worst day for me. I find Monday, whether it's because I'm preaching, well, that's no excuse, is it, you're going to say to me. But what are we really like on a Monday morning? Do people see Christ in us, especially our own family? What are we really like? Here was Barnabas, and he was regarded as a spiritual man, a good man, and many came to know Jesus through him. But secondly, he was a generous, kind man, and we discover that in Acts 4, verses 36 following. He was indeed generous in the grace of stewardship. Let me share the story of Acts chapter 4. Barnabas is in Jerusalem just after Pentecost. The church is in its early days. Many Jews, both homeborn and foreign, have joined the church. Many of them are without means of support, some because of family opposition, because they've turned away from what they regarded as the true faith. And Barnabas comes forward. He's a wealthy landowner. He sells his land and he puts every penny at the disposal of the church. And what does that say? It speaks of Christian love. When Barnabas became a Christian, he not only gave himself to Christ, he gave all that he had. Now, friends, stewardship for you and me may not mean that, like Barnabas, we sell all and give it all away. God does not call upon all of us to do that, but what he does do is call upon every one of us to put everything we have at his disposal. God is the absolute owner of all things. And if God owns everything, then you and I must acknowledge that ownership in a practical way. We come into this world with nothing, and we will depart the same way. Loyalty to Christ and giving for the kingdom go together. The person who is genuinely Christian acknowledges that God is Lord of all. Barnabas was a generous, kind man. Barnabas was a spiritual man. But thirdly, we find in Acts 9 and Acts 15 that he was very warm-hearted. He was full of faith. He really trusted God, and that lies behind all that he did and all that he became. And the faith that showed itself most in his life was his love for others. He had the warm-hearted faith to believe that God really can save. Not only saves, but changes. The church was afraid of Paul. Barnabas comes alongside him, because he believed in people. Confidence in men is essential in true goodness. Really good men are the men who believe in their fellows. And Barnabas showed that. Now, you and I have met the person who says that every man has his price. Whenever you hear, and I have heard a man say that, we know that that there is one at least who does have his price. The one who is making the statement. And the man without confidence in his brother is a man who personally knows that he himself cannot be trusted. And one of the greatest enemies that the church ever had returned one day from a tour of persecution in Damascus, and he declared that he'd been converted on the way. God had changed him. No one believed him. But there was an exception, Barnabas, and he believed Paul. He staked his reputation, he staked his all on his faith in Paul's sincerity. And friends, but for that, Paul might have been lost to the church. And there we discover also Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey. And with them was a young man called Mark, and he found the life harder than expected, and so he went home. Years later, Mark once more offered himself for service, and we read that in Acts 15. Paul would not accept him, refused to let him become part of the team. But Barnabas, somehow he could not bring himself to give up on Mark. And he believed that even if a man failed once, he may succeed at the second chance. So he stood by Mark, John Mark, even at the cost of departing company with Paul. And his confidence, his faith was gloriously justified. Who wrote the second gospel? It was John Mark the deserter. Many years later, and we record in 2 Timothy 4, Paul is in prison. Who does he ask for? He asks for John Mark, the mature spiritual servant of Christ. Oh, here was a man who was warm-hearted. I wonder, do you and I believe in people? Or do we view all men with suspicion? We're not sure about him or her. I remember what they were like. Can they really have changed? Could God work a miracle of grace in that life? Save and change that person? Well, we're not sure. Friends, are you and I warm-hearted or hard? Barnabas was a man who had a warm heart. He was a generous, kind man, and he was certainly a spiritual man. But we also discover in Acts chapter 11 that he was an encouraging man. The folk in Cyprus knew him as Joseph, but the disciples nicknamed him Barnabas. And that name revealed something of his nature, shows a clear and beautiful picture of this man that we've studied briefly this morning, the son of encouragement. He was an encourager. His great mission in life was not only to bring people to the Lord, but also to cheer up those around him, to encourage. Acts 11. We read there that the church is growing, and so they sent him to from Jerusalem to Antioch, to the new believers. And what do we read? He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Oh, isn't that marvelous? James and John were called the sons of thunder. That speaks of power, might, the lightning flash, the thunder crash. Their storm wrapped up in their personalities, but Barnabas is the peaceful sunset after the storm, light at evening time, son of encouragement, one like his Lord, one whose love and compassion for folk never died. He just never gave up on them. Friends, oh, for a Barnabas in our churches today. We know folk whose wet blanket personalities stifle us. And we know of people who simply depress us. But thank the Lord there are others like Barnabas, whose Christ-like love simply refreshes us and always have a word of encouragement. Do you know to be incarnate encouragement and body, comfort, flesh and blood, consolation. If there is anything finer than that, I do not know what that something might be. But it's so lacking. Barnabas, the good man, the son of encouragement, the good man. That phrase, good man, that virtue, goodness or godliness, some might regard as a weakness. But of weakness, how much it is like the weakness of Christ himself. One of the marvelous characteristics of Jesus was his faith, his love for men and women. Do you and I ever wonder how Jesus could expect that the poor lady who was dragged into his presence and accused of adultery could be utterly different? I do not see how, but Jesus did. And I hear him say to her, go and sin no more. Do you and I ever wonder how Jesus could expect the 12 disciples, a mixed bunch, would ever be the means of turning this world upside down and bringing the gospel to you and me? I can't see it. They failed him in his hour of greatness, greatest need. They slept in the garden while he was wrestling in prayer. They ran like frightened sheep when the soldiers came into the garden when he was arrested. And yet, knowing their cowardice and their weaknesses, he thrust the responsibility of world conquest upon their frail shoulders with the declaration that the gates of hell should not prevail against them. Do you and I ever wonder how Jesus can put up with us? The wildest faith that was ever exercised is the faith that God exercises in men and women like you and I this morning. Why should God really love us? What possessed Jesus to die for us? Why does God not just give up on us and the world? And then I remember Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Friends, we've looked briefly at Barnabas this morning. The quiet man of God whose faith was a quality born of a goodness that was close akin to the goodness of God. He had had a tongue to speak a word of season to the weary. the character to lift men out of their depression. He brought hope where there was despair. He pointed to the streaks of light at the dawn. He encouraged men to admire the petal of a rose and hear the song of the nightingale in the heavens. A great godly Christian who resigned his life, who gave his all to his Savior, Jesus Christ. He lived the life of faith. Well, what about us this morning? Has Barnabas anything really to say to you and me this morning on the way we should live our Christian life and to our commitment to our Savior? I want to turn as I close to words in Romans 12. Words that sum up the life of Barnabas, but words that are God's challenge to you and to me. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If it is serving, serve. If it is teaching, teach. If it is encouraging, encourage. When did we last give a word of encouragement? When did we last speak to some of our MLAs who are under such pressure and remind them we're praying for them? When did we last say to someone in the organizations or to the teachers in the back of us, we think a lot about what you're doing? When did we ever last say a word of encouragement? If it is encouraging, encouraging. If it is contributing to the needs of others, give generously. Love must be sincere. Let's hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And let's be devoted to one another in Christian love. Barnabas, that good man, a word that we don't hear much about these days. Barnabas, the man who is full of the Holy Spirit and faith, a godly, encouraging Christian. Let's pray together. Father, when we look at our own lives, sometimes our God, all we seem to do is just simply criticize or be negative. Oh Lord, help each and every one of us to live for Jesus, so that others may see Jesus in us, and let us encourage each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Gwen picked a lovely hymn for closing. She didn't know what I was preaching on.